in the context of a body of people where Jesus Christ is revered. There ought to be a reverence for parental authority in Christian families.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
2 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 1 to 5, is an overview of what we might call the marks of ungodliness. In that passage, Paul sketches very vividly the character of the contemporary scene in his day. And he says in this chapter, in verse 13, that things will wax worse and worse the closer we move toward the end of the age. And as he sketches that contemporary scene, he then summons Timothy, to whom he's writing. This is Paul's last letter. He's writing from a Roman prison. He's about to face decapitation. He will lose his life for the cause of Christ. He summons Timothy, in spite of almost universal declension, to continue faithful to that which he had learned from the great apostle. And that same mandate and summons which he gave to Timothy, he's giving to us as well. He's telling us that wicked men and their menacing philosophies will prevail in the world around us, that they will be hostile to all that we stand for, that they will be a part of Satan's attack upon our families, upon our churches, and upon our culture. And he tells us that we are to know what these men are like. He says in verse 1, this know. I want you to know these things. Now, as I look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 5, there are really two basic points here. One is a general characterization. That's in verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. And out of that general characterization of these terrible times, four propositions emerge. One, we're living in the last days, which began technically, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, which began technically with the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, and which will consummate with the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are living in the last days. These days will include, he says, seasons of peril. In the last days, perilous times, perilous seasons, perilous times shall come. And he said, thirdly, that these seasons of stress will be the result of the activities of evil and godless men. For men shall be, and then he tells us what they will be like. And then he says, finally, that we are to know this. We are to understand it, to be perfectly clear about it, and so be prepared for it when it comes, this know. Then we've begun to give you and unfold this more specific characterization of the marks of ungodliness. We gave a general characterization in those four propositions, but then a more specific characterization, trying to unfold what Paul is saying in these verses, in verses 2 to 5 in particular. And we said, as we look at those verses, there are really three things which seem to be stated with respect to these godless men, these godless activities and attitudes. First, there's something foundational wrong with them. We suggested that they have the wrong loves. They love the wrong things. They have the wrong affections. We're to set our affections on things above and not on things on this earth. And whenever we fall in love with the wrong things, it has a way of corrupting our whole way of life. And if you remember, we noted that there were four wrong loves that they have. Two at the very beginning of the list, and two at the very end of the list. We said that they were self-lovers, lovers of their own selves. And then we said that they were silver lovers, they were covetous. And the word is literally philargyros, lovers of silver. They were self-lovers, and then they were silver lovers. And then we said they were sensuality lovers. They're lovers of pleasure, right at the end of the list there, in verse 4. They were lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They were senseless lovers. It's a senseless and maddening thing to love other things in the place of God or to worship the false God. So that was what was fundamentally or foundationally wrong with these men. They love the wrong things. It may be that there's some of us who love the wrong things. We have the wrong gods. We worship idols. We live in an idolatrous culture. More idolatrous, perhaps, than any culture that has ever graced the face of this globe. Our culture is more idolatrous than any other culture, and an idol is anything that we think will do for us what only God can do for us. Some of us are worshiping idols, godless things, the wrong things, and this can only work havoc and ruin in our lives. And that havoc and ruin is unfolded as this list of hideous qualities of the marks of ungodliness is unfolded. So first, something foundational, wrong loves. And then they have the wrong affections. Then something filial, something family-oriented. You know, the first area in which this foundational problem expresses itself is within the ranks of the family. And I think that there are five words, and there are a number of men, commentators, and others who would confirm this. I believe that the next five expressions in this list are expressions which describe malformities and deformities within the context of the family. He begins with that phrase after boasters, proud, and blasphemers, which were three terms describing what it means to love ourselves, self-lovers. He begins with that phrase, disobedient to parents. And then unthankful, within the context of the family. Now it grows outside of the family, but it begins within the context of the family. The first area, the first arena in which this foundational malady, this foundational disease, begins to reveal itself is within the framework of the family. A breakdown of the family. There's nothing that is disintegrating any more rapidly in our culture than the nuclear family, this unit, this fundamental, basic unit that God has erected and established on earth. And so he says they're disobedient to parents, they're unthankful, they're unholy or irreverent toward authority and toward the decencies of life, including their parents. And then they're without natural affection. That's a family term. The very word storge is a family term. And then they're truce breakers or filled with unrelenting bitterness within the context of the family. So let's take a moment to look at some of these attitudes which some young people adopt toward their parents. This is the first area in which this breakdown foundationally begins to reveal itself within the framework of the family. First, Paul says that they're disobedient to parents. You know, the ancient world had a great reverence for parents. It had a great reverence for the aged. It had a great reverence for the adult status of life. And it set duty to parents very high. This was true in all of the cultures of the ancient world. In the Greek laws, the oldest Greek laws, disfranchised the man who struck his father or his mother. In Roman law, to strike a father was equivalent to murder. It was as bad as murder. To be insensitive to the authority of your parents was a terrible infraction. In pagan cultures, in the Greek culture, and in the Roman culture, and to strike a parent was equivalent to murder in the Roman system of jurisprudence and law. In Jewish law, the showing of honor to parents was the fundamental prerequisite for enjoying long life. That is the first commandment with promise, long life. And any violation of that precept in Jewish law, in the Old Testament Mosaic law, any violation of this precept carried with it the gravest of consequences. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, "The eye that mocketh at his father." And you know, there's a world of insight revealed in the eye. It's amazing what you can read in the eye of a young person. In the eye of an adult, it's amazing what is revealed in the eye of a man. The Bible says, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." Proverbs chapter 30. In verse 17. That's a very grim climax. And it is a very grim climax due to the enormity of the arrogance manifested in rebellion within the ranks of the family. Solomon says, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp," and I think it means his spirit, that which gives him life, that which is the source of his life. His lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Proverbs 20 and verse 20. The ancient world set duty to parents very high. It's something that has lost a bit of its stock in our modern world. But within the context of a Christian church, in the context of a body of people where Jesus Christ is revered, there ought to be a reverence for parental authority in Christian families. You know, this word, disobedience, is an interesting word. This word that is translated disobedience carries with it the connotation of unbelief. Apatho is the word, and right in the heart of that word is a little Greek stem, paith, P-E-I-T-H, paith. And it's the word that means trust, faith, or confidence. And I think that Paul used that word to convey this idea. Whenever we disobey God's ordained authority over us, that parental authority, that is a tragic betrayal of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be a revelation that we do not even have faith. It is the height of inconsistency to profess to be Christians while at the same time exhibiting crass insensitivity to our parents' wishes. That is sheer hypocrisy. It is impossible to be rebellious and righteous at the same moment. So Paul says, disobedience to parents. Isn't it interesting? We think it's kind of an incidental thing. It's just kind of a phase we go through. There are a lot of parents who think rebellion is a phase. There are a lot of teenagers who've been conditioned to think that way. It's something I'm supposed to go through. It's a phase I'm supposed to go through. Rebellion is never a phase. Rebellion is a deep spiritual problem. The scripture says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's exposure to the realm and power of evil. And stubbornness is like iniquity and like idolatry. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23. Disobedience to parents is a hideous mark of ungodliness. It is a betrayal of our faith, and it might be a revelation that we have no faith. We profess to be Christians, but we cannot profess to submit to God's authority without submitting to God's ordained authority on this globe. It is the sign of a supremely decadent civilization when youth loses all respect for age and fails to recognize the unpayable debt and the basic duty that it owes to those who gave them life. Paul says, disobedience to parents is a manifestation of the marks of ungodliness.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Whenever we're not thankful, do you know that we're really questioning God? God, I'm not thankful for this thing that you've allowed to come into my life.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.